Murari Hari Prabhu. So now we'll continue on with the glorifications and offerings. And I'm going to start the second session with His Grace Sauri Prabhu. Sauri Prabhu joined in Hawaii in 1975. He's well known as a very generous donor, big collector and generous donor to various ISKCON projects. And he's, a resident of Sri Mayapur Dham here nowadays. So I'll have a few words from Sauri Prabhu.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Sri Mate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvase Sasunyavadi Paschachade Satarane. So I'd like to start out with a little Prabhupada remembrance, a little antidote by the which happened actually by the mercy of what people ask me my name, and they go, my name is Sauri. They go, what? And then I say, you know Hari Sauri? And he goes, yes. I go, I'm his lesser half. So, in 1976, when Srila Prabhupada came to Hawaii, he would come there every year and practically spend a month. And unfortunately, I got dragged off to Japan after him being there for like 7 days. But during that 7-day period, one time, Hari Sauri Prabhu came up to me and said, come, take a look at this. So he went up to the Prabhupada's room, and there was a keyhole. Just like in India, you know, there's these bigger type of keys, and you can look through the hole and see into the room. So this was an old building in Hawaii. Very nice building. It was purchased by Ambarish Prabhu. And I looked through the keyhole, and there was Srila Prabhupada sitting behind his desk, back straight, eyes closed, and completely still. Just who knows what he was thinking about, what was going on. I don't know if he was translating and he was meditating, but just the room was very dimly lit, and there was Srila Prabhupada. So I got this glimpse of Srila Prabhupada by the mercy of Hari Sauri Prabhu. Thought I'd like to share you with that. So as far as Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, I would like to relate to everyone what his disappearance meant to me when it happened and what it means to me now. How many years? 32? Many years. So I joined late. If you count all the God brothers here, I'm probably the most junior. I joined in early 1975. And so I was on the planet. Prabhupada was, I joined the movement, and I was in the movement 2.5 years. And Srila Prabhupada disappeared. So I'm like a bacha amongst his disciples. I'm a bacha. I'm a child to all my God brothers. They're older brothers to me. So when he disappeared, we can all remember so many disappearances in this material world. You know, maybe your mother or father has disappeared. And we can all, whenever there is a significant disappearance, someone close to you, someone intimately related to you, or someone famous, you can always recollect what you were doing at that time when you heard that this person had left the world. So I can remember when President Kennedy left the world. I was in Thailand. I was 7 years old. I was playing out in the yard, and all of a sudden I saw my mother crying, and I wondered what happened. And she goes, President Kennedy was shot and killed. I go, oh. It didn't really matter to me. But I still remember it because he was very famous, and, you know, we've heard about him after it happened, and mostly bad things, but... But for Srila Prabhupada, it's different. Just like today, the amount of people in this assembly is astounding compared to how it used to be in ISKCON. Here in India, there was maybe 30 of us foreigners, you know, in Mayapur, back when Prabhupada was here, and maybe 7 or 8 Bengalis, or, you know, a few Indians here and there, not many. But this is astounding, and it's I know it's pleasing to Srila Prabhupada that he wanted educated Indians to come and take up Krishna consciousness and spread it all over the world. He constantly preached that verse, Bharate Bhumime Manushahaya Jars, that if you're born in India, you should, you know, become perfect in Krishna consciousness and then give it to others all over the world. So at that time when Srila Prabhupada disappeared, I had been Brahminical initiated in Mayapur early that year in February on Gopranim Day 1977. Here in Mayapur, I got my Brahminical initiation. And so then I went back to my temple in Honolulu. And I was doing the Artik, and I finished the Artik, and it is quite a large, it's a Panchatattva. There was the Panchatattva and Jagannath Baladev Lady Subhadra. Later, Murti of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was added. So I had finished the Artik. It was after Guru Puja. You know, we would every day chant Udi La Aruna and have a roaring kirtan. And that kirtan was going on still. And then it ended, and I'm on the floor wiping the floor of the altar. And all of a sudden a devotee comes in and makes an announcement. I'd like to make an announcement. Srila Prabhupada has left the world. And I stopped. I'm mopping the floor, and I stopped. And for a few moments, then I started again. I finished the job, and I went out the door, and there's our head pujari crying, and I'm looking around. But I couldn't cry. My attachment for Srila Prabhupada was like a child, not mature. And that attachment has matured in time. And appreciation for Srila Prabhupada has matured in time. Don't think that if you don't feel anything on this day, that in the future that you may, that it can happen. And your appreciation, just like the appreciation for the holy name will grow if you chant nicely, free from offense. Your appreciation for Srila Prabhupada will also grow. Your appreciation for Srila Prabhupada's books will grow. Your appreciation for the association of devotees will grow. And the disappearance day of Srila Prabhupada, the appreciation for that day will grow. Because it is not material. It is spiritual. We are not appreciating some mundane personality who had, who was some leader, and then he got shot in the head, and then we, you know, every year that date comes up, and, you know, not very many people really care. But a disappearance day of Srila Prabhupada is of great meaning to all of us because we appreciate him. And as time goes on, we appreciate him more because he has given us the substance to our life, the holy name of Krishna, which in this age, as everybody in this assembly knows, is the only means for attainment of God realization. Such a great gift he has given us, and he sacrificed his whole life for this. And it is what will give everybody the ultimate satisfaction and pleasure in their lives. So, and Srila Prabhupada's association is with us today, just like I was in the Pandal last night watching Radhanath Swami speak about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his accepting sannyas. And I was sitting in the back in a chair, and I could see him from the distance, sitting on the Vyasasan, or I could see him on the screen. I had my choice. And it didn't really make much difference to see him personally or look on the screen. A matter of fact, I chose to see him in the screen because it was more clear and less obstruction. And the same benefit I received. I could hear what he was saying, and I could see his image there, but it wasn't. So similarly, everybody can get the benefit of Srila Prabhupada's association, whether you saw him personally or not. The benefit of hearing from Srila Prabhupada, you can read his books, you can listen to his tapes, you can see his image in pictures, you can see his image in videos, and he is there, just like Radhanath Swami, his voice was there and his image was there. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada, you get the benefit, and your attachment to him will grow, and your feelings towards him will grow, and what he had to say will have deeper and deeper meaning in all of our lives. So this is basically what I'd like to say about Srila Prabhupada on his disappearance day. Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you. Sorry, Prabhu. Now we'd like to ask one lady devotee. She joined in the early 70s in London, Mother Kulangana, if you'd like to come forward. Mother Kulangana joined a little later in life than most of us. We were all in our late teens or early 20s. She was a little older than that. She's probably best known as being the cook of the best milk sweets in the whole world. She is the personal cook for Radha Londoneshwara and Radha Gokulananda. Anybody that goes to London to the manor there, one of the great blessings is to get some of the sweets that have been cooked by Mother Kulangana. She's also a very enthusiastic Sankirtan devotee. I was told that just up until this year, she was going out every year on the Transcendental Christmas Marathon selling Prabhupada's books. She's 78 years old. I'm sure she won't mind me saying that. So just physically now it's a little difficult for her to get out. But up until last year, she was going out on the book distribution marathon. So she's one of the great stalwarts of our London Yatra. Mother Kulangana, if you'd like to say a few words. Thank you.
Vanchakar Petarubhishta Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutala Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamiti Namina Namaste Saraswati Devam Goravani Pracharine Nirvishasya Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarina. You know, when Harisori Prabhu, he asked us to get up and stretch the body. So I quickly get up and I put my hand up and I say, Kurangana, look up, because God is great and He will hear your prayers that nobody come to ask you to speak today. So when I was praying like this with my head up, thinking that God is great, so Hari Sauri just approached me and he said, if I would like to speak. So I was thinking, my God, this comes from Krishna, because everything comes from Krishna. So if I don't surrender, so I will be disappointed and I will suffer. So I was thinking, it's no other choice. I have to speak. Even I am not qualified to speak in this pandal to such elevated, great personalities. So my first realization is that today, for the first time, I was seeing all these great, pure devotees, disciples of Srila Prabhupada, and I just realized how their culture, how they are exalted, how they are pure, that I can't compare with them. And I was thinking that this is why Srila Prabhupada was so successful, because he has such a wonderful disciples. And Srila Prabhupada says that they were sent by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati to help him to spread this movement. And he says that without their help, he would be not able to do that. And also, I was once time reading that Lord Chaitanya, he says the same, that he has a help. And this is why it was so successful. So I thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada, that at the end of my life, I was just able to see such this great, pure devotees who helped Prabhupada spread the movement. And next thing that I realize, this is when Umapati Swami, he was speaking, and it was very wonderful to hear that, because he said, never take for granted. He says, I am so fortunate that I am here. Still I am here and preaching. And he says, never take for granted that you are here. So this is actually, he encouraged me and gave me faith and strength, because I am actually every day many times praying like Srila Prabhupada advised. Prabhupada says, you pray just like this. My dear Radharani, please offer a flower to your Krishna and ask him to engage me in a service. I say to a transcendental service. So I constantly pray like this. And also, Srila Prabhupada advised one of his disciples who was very worried how he is going to preach and represent Srila Prabhupada. Maybe I can have a little bit of water. I'm sorry. Thank you. How he can represent Srila Prabhupada? He was a graduate from university in America and he wanted to preach, and he asked Prabhupada for advice what to do. And Srila Prabhupada said, I tell you what to do. You just pray like this. My dear Lord Krishna, please engage me in devotional service. And if you do that, Krishna will give you intelligence how to go back to Godhead. And he asked his disciple, are you going to pray like this? Because many of his disciples was a hippies. And Srila Prabhupada knew that sometimes they are not so serious. So he looked at him and say, are you going to preach like this? And he say, yes, Prabhupada. So Prabhupada say, you pray like this. My dear Lord Krishna, please engage me in a service, and Krishna in this way will give you intelligence how to go back to Godhead. So I was very impressed when I read this. So ultimately, when Prabhupada asking third time if he's going to preach like this, pray like this, so he says, oh yes, Srila Prabhupada, I will pray like this. And Prabhupada says, oh, if you pray like this, Krishna will give you intelligence how to go back to Godhead. So when I read this, because I don't have too much intelligence, and I am very fallen, and it's very difficult for me to follow this process every day. So I start to pray like this every day, exactly like this. And I just realize that Krishna can give you intelligence, and this is completely inconceivable energy. You are not able to do anything by your own. This is only by mercy of Krishna if you pray. And you just get his mercy. Because without Krishna's mercy, I realize, actually nothing can happen good. So this is what I would like to say, that I don't take for granted, like Umapati Swami, he said, that I am here and I can, Krishna just desired, must be that I speak here, even I am not qualified at all. But I just try not to be grateful. I just try to be grateful because what Srila Prabhupada is giving us is completely inconceivable. But there is no doubt that follow this process is not easy. Therefore, I am never sure when I beginning a day, I start to pray with all my heart for mercy. And it says also I was reading in Srimad Bhagavatam that only medicine is to constantly pray for forgiveness to Lord Vishnu and don't depend even a pinch on your own strength. Therefore, every morning I repeat all these prayers and I never know how my day will end. And every day I am again and again surprised that by Krishna's inconceivable mercy, I am not disappointed in the evening, because I am able by Krishna's mercy surrender to what my authority desired me to do. So my Siksha Guru was Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and he liked very much this Mangalarti sweets. And he told me that if I cook this Mangalarti sweets to end of my life, so I will go back to Godhead. I didn't want to cook these sweets in any price. I was asking already in the beginning, in 75, to cook this Mangalarti sweets, but I constantly refused. I say, I will never surrender to this service. I am going to distribute books. But unfortunately, I was not very good and qualified to distribute Srila Prabhupada books. And ultimately, when I went to New Vrindavan, Kirtanananda Maharaj, this time, he was asking me to cook this Mangalarti sweets. So this is the first time when I surrendered to cook this sweets. And actually, this is a thing that I can do it. I am not so qualified, and this simple service, I can do it. And I understood that we don't want to surrender. And when we surrender, this is the best, what Krishna wants us to do. But unfortunately, I don't want it to surrender. Ultimately, in New Vrindavan, I surrender, and it was my fortune. And thank you that Tamal Krishna Maharaj was so kind and takes so much care of me and asked me to do this service, because probably I won't be able to understand without his help what I should do. And for about 11 years, I was distributing books in London. And once time, Srila Prabhupada, he came. And actually, it was last visit in Bhaktivedanta Manor. So we was going every day. First, I was asking to cook for Srila Prabhupada breakfast. So I was doing this breakfast, and I was asking to press juices for Srila Prabhupada, because actually this time he was not able to eat. So he was drinking these juices. First it was orange juice, and after he asked for grape juice, and ultimately he asked for pomegranate juice. But this time, I never see any pomegranates in my life, so I didn't know what it is. So unfortunately, I was not able to press this pomegranate juice for Srila Prabhupada. And the whole day, since 9 o'clock, I was going to London, and was distributing Bhagavad Gita. For any price, we was asked to distribute for any price, because Srila Prabhupada was not interested in anything else. When he came last time to Bhaktivedanta Manor, he was only asking in the evening how many books was distributed. He doesn't want to know anything else. And we was distributing this Bhagavad Gita for any price, even for 50 pence. So we was distributing every day and many books, and Srila Prabhupada was very happy. And one day, he called Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who was his servant, and he says to him, I would like that you go and you gather all these Sankirtan mothers, which are very dear to me, and you tell them, these mothers, that I am a young boy. So, when Tamal Krishna Maharaj told us that Srila Prabhupada is a young boy, so I was extremely impressed. And immediately, since this time, I realized if such a great personality like Srila Prabhupada is sending message having 82 years old, or 81, that he is a young boy, so since this time, I just start to understand that definitely I am not this body. And this helped me a lot to understand, because I had complete faith in Srila Prabhupada. And because he said that, so I just start to understand that I am not this body. And this helped me a lot. Because as long as you identify with the body, it's impossible to understand Krishna. And in the end, I would like to say that I was very sentimental, more than now, because I am always sentimental. Prabhupada liked it, real thing. So when he came last time to Bhaktivedanta Manor, suddenly after 2 weeks, we learned that he is leaving. We was hearing to Bombay, so I was completely, I was very disturbed. I started to lament. I was thinking that Srila Prabhupada will stay with us all the time. And it was difficult to actually imagine that Srila Prabhupada is going to leave the body and to leave us. But anyway, he said to Tamal Krishna, to different his disciples who was surrendering him, that he doesn't want that nobody, he says, come to airport. He doesn't want. He wants that all these Sankirtan devotees, instead to come to airport, they just go to distribute my books. It was his instruction. But I was so sentimental when I didn't surrender to this instruction. I just was able to convince a president, and they took me to airport. So instead to go to distribute books, I go to airport. So this is how disobedient I was. But I wanted to see Srila Prabhupada once again because he was in such a condition that actually it was not sure that we will be able to see him again. So it was my last time when I saw Srila Prabhupada. He was on wheelchair and suddenly he put his head up and he looked at me, and after they turned a wheelchair and he just disappeared. It was the last time I was seeing Srila Prabhupada, and I was not able to, even I desire so, but I was not able to go to Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada, he said, you can't buy a ticket to go to Vrindavan. This is only if Krishna desires so you will go there. So certainly Krishna doesn't desire me to be in this time in Vrindavan. And also, it helps me a lot to hear for Srila Prabhupada. He was giving lecture in Berry Place, and I was thinking that he is looking at me, because actually everybody was thinking that Srila Prabhupada is just looking at this person. So I also had this impression. And Srila Prabhupada, he says, I just remember this very clearly. He says, you be like a swan. You take milk from a water. So now, when Srila Prabhupada is not here, I especially remember this instruction. And by his mercy, I try to take milk, not a water. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada. Hare
Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much, Mother Kalangana. Now I'd like to ask His Grace Rajendra Nandana Prabhu, I got that right this time, to step forward before he makes his own personal offering. He's going to read the poem that Srila Prabhupada wrote for his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in 1935. On February the 22nd, that was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's 62nd appearance day. And Prabhupada wrote a wonderful poem, and he earned the attention and praise of his spiritual master. The poem was submitted to The Harmonist, the devotional journal that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had established for preaching in the English language. The poem, which was Abhay's first published work, introduced himself as a competent writer in English, and Swami Bhakti Pradeep Tirtha, the editor of The Harmonist, informally dubbed Abhay as kavi or poet. Most of Abai's god brothers, even the sannyasis, were not so proficient in English. They could appreciate that the poem was personal, written out of Abai's genuine worship of and his joy at having accepted a spiritual master, but it was also written strictly in accord with the conclusions of the scriptures. For Abai, however, the real glory of his Vyasa Puja homage came when the poem reached Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was greatly pleased with his offering. One stanza specifically made Srila Bhaktisiddhanta so happy that he made a point of showing it to many of his guests. Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. Impersonal calamity, thou hast moved. Somehow, in this simple couplet, Abai had captured the essence of his spiritual master's preaching against the Mayavadis, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta took it as an indication of how well Abai knew his mind. Abai was delighted when he heard that the couplet was pleasing to his spiritual master. One of his godbrothers compared this verse by Abai to a verse in which Srila Rupa Goswami had expressed the inner thinking of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and had thus moved him to ecstasy. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati also found the essay pleasing, and he showed it to some of his confidential devotees. He instructed the editor of The Harmonist, whatever he writes, you publish it. So Raj Prabhu is going to read Prabhupada's wonderful poem, and then he's going to make his offering. Thank you.
Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnananjana Salakya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakopaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnabhyo Namo Namaha. Srila Prabhupada's glorification of his spiritual master. Adore ye all the happy day, blessed than heaven and sweeter than May. When he appeared at Puri, the holy place, my Lord and Master, his divine grace. O my Master, the angelic angel, give us thy light up thy candle. Struggle for existence, a human race, the only hope, your divine grace. Misled we are, all going astray. Save us, Lord, our fervent pray. Wander thy ways, to turn our face, adore thy feet, your divine grace. Forgotten Krishna, we fallen souls, pain most heavy, the illusion's toll. Darkness around, all distress, the only hope, your divine grace. Message of service thou hast brought, a meaningful life as Chaitanya wrought. Unknown to all, it is full of grace, that's your gift, your divine grace. Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. In personal calamity, thou hast removed. This gives us a life, a new and fresh. Worship thy feet, your divine grace. Had you not come, who had told the message of Krishna, forceful and bold? That's your right, you have the mace. Save me, the fallen, your divine grace. The line of service as drawn by you, it's pleasing and healthy as morning dew. The oldest of all, but in a new dress, miracle done, your divine grace. And it's signed Abai Charan Das Adhikari. Srila Prabhupada Ki! It's a great privilege, I know that, to be able to sit here in the shade of Srila Prabhupada at the feet of all you Vaishnavas and try to say something in glorification of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada has taught me and repeatedly instructs me that I'm 1/10,000th, the tip of a hair in size, an eternal spirit soul, not this body. I always have to hear this repeatedly, so someday it'll get through my thick head. When I'm in San Diego, puffed up as I am, I think, oh, I'm a big fish in a small pond. Some kind of devotee gets to do the part of some service, say something, etc. But here in the assembly of so many advanced devotees, even though I may not realize I'm 1/10,000th the tip of a hair, by Srila Prabhupada's grace, I can realize at least I'm 1/45,000th the size of this assembly of Vaishnavs and Vaishnavis. It's such a glorious assembly gathered to glorify His divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So I'd like to share a little bit of some of the Antya Leela of Srila Prabhupada. It was my untold, infinite good fortune to be able to see some of his later pastimes. I got to see him in San Francisco Rathyatra in 1975, and he gave a very wonderful address to all the devotees and all the thousands of non-devotees that were there in Golden Gate Park participating in the Rathyatra. He spoke very forcefully, very wonderfully for over a half an hour. And one short year later, I got to see him in 1976 in New York Rathyatra. Srila Prabhupada was so pleased that his disciples, Jayananda Prabhu in particular, back are, you know, behind, so many great Vaishnavas behind this wonderful event of Lord Jagannath being taken down the most important street or road in the most important city of the world. But he only spoke for like 6-7 minutes, 8 minutes most in his address to the public. You could see his health was not so good, a little frail. He was always coughing, etc. And so somehow or other I had a little intelligence to understand Srila Prabhupada spends a lot of time in India. I think if I'm going to have any more of his personal association, somehow or other I better go there and get service in India. So by Srila Prabhupada's mercy and the mercy of the Lord, less than a year later, I got to come here in 1977, arriving in Mayapur in time for the festival. And Srila Prabhupada was somewhat weak, but he was giving class most every day, speaking on the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. They're all recorded, and they're such wonderful lectures. And then, just a few months later, a couple, 3 months later, in mid-May, because I had gone to Vrindavan to take up service in the Gurukula, we were surprised to see that Srila Prabhupada had arrived with some of his closest servants. And he was brought, he was carried out of the car to his room and set behind his desk. And to see the deterioration of his health was shocking, to say the least. And he gave a short speech that I'd like to share with you best as I can. First thing he said was, I was recently in Rishikesh and had some difficulty. And if I thought, if I'm going to die, let it be in Vrindavan. So I've come here to Vrindavan. I have nothing new to say. Everything is in my books. Krishna is eternal, as is the living entity. And anyone who engages in the service of Krishna, he lives eternally with Krishna. So please, continue on in your service to Krishna and live eternally with Him. It was very short, but the thunderbolt had been thrown at the hearts of all the devotees in the room. He said, if I'm to die? This was inconceivable to hear. Anybody who had any association with Srila Prabhupada, the furthest thing from their mind was that our transcendental Paramahamsa, spiritual master Jagat Guru, could leave his body. It was inconceivable. I got to go on a morning walk one time with Srila Prabhupada in Dallas, mid, late 70s. I couldn't even keep up with his pace as he walked along chanting japa. And I was only 19 or 20. I had so much youthful energy and I couldn't keep up with him. And that's just in a material way, mundane way, looking at Srila Prabhupada. He was completely transcendental to the laws of material nature. He was the eternal, surrendered, fully surrendered servant of the Lord. how could he possibly leave us? At that time, although I was in shock, tears did not come to my eyes. It was as Shari Prabhu said, with increased service over time, by the mercy of the spiritual master, one's attachment and one's conviction and one's determination to follow the instructions of the spiritual master, and as such, one's relationship and love for the spiritual master can grow. So I am so grateful to Srila Prabhupada and the Lord that he allowed me to be there in Vrindavan those last few months, because my feeble creeper of attachment to him and his instructions got to grow even more and more. Time went on in Vrindavan, just as it does here in Mayapur. Every day the sun rises and sets, but because we're hearing and chanting throughout the day and doing service to the spiritual master and the Supreme Lord, it seems eternal. It's not like when you're in the West, the days speed by. You can actually sense and appreciate the eternality of devotional service. And it was like that in Vrindavan. So Srila Prabhupada was not eating very much, just a little bit. But he was making some effort. Astrologers would be called, doctors would be called. He would try to do this or that to try to keep the health, improve the health. But really not much was helping. And sometimes you hear the devotees say, I don't like to see the pictures of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada at that time. It is so painful to see. Because we look at him on his Vyasasan, or you look on the pictures, and you see him in his vibrant health when he was spreading the message of Lord Chaitanya all around the world. But Srila Prabhupada, one time, I heard him personally tell Tamal Krishna Goswami. I had snuck up into his room on the roof there with another devotee. He was resting. It was early morning, and he woke up. And immediately as he woke up, he was set up. He didn't have the strength to sit himself up, but he sat up and he told Tamal Krishna Maharaj, you go to the West and you tell them, do you want to grow old? No, you're forced to grow old. Do you think I want to become old like this? Nobody wants, but it's the nature of the body. Don't think it will not happen to you. So this temporary life, little purport that probably doesn't need to be put there in this assembly, but this temporary life, its true value is in surrendering to the lotus feet of the spiritual master and under his guidance serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's completely transcendental, but he cooperated with the laws of nature. The body diminishes, it becomes diseased, and ultimately it will become uninhabitable. Many times as we prayed to Srila Prabhupada, the leading disciples prayed to Srila Prabhupada, stay with us, please, don't leave. How can we live without you? We're so young, we're so neophyte. And he would say, what can I do? His body's just a bag of bones. It's useless. Why do you want me to stay? We know the lecture that Srila Prabhupada gave on Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's disappearance day one year in Los Angeles. He said, whether the Vaishnav lives or dies, it doesn't matter. Because he will eternally engage in the same activities of service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada, sometimes the Christians, they glorify Jesus Christ, their Master, their Lord and Savior, because He died for them. It was my experience in Vrindavan that we can glorify Srila Prabhupada because he lived for us. It was really humanly impossible to have stayed in the body as long as he did. The Kaviraj confirmed that he has lost all the muscles, all the fat in his body. It's simply skin on bones. And the nerve endings, feeling that just with no cushion, it'd be constantly like being in fire. Srila Prabhupada never complained once. Any other person would be in a hospital and taking morphine. They give you the thing to increase it when it gets too painful, and it gets to the point you can't get enough. Everyone suffers in this body. Certainly near the end of this life, it increases tremendously. Srila Prabhupada didn't complain once. Instead, he always engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord and His devotees. Unlike his spiritual master, who Srila Prabhupada shared with us, when he left, he was disgusted. Srila Prabhupada told us that he was very happy and very pleased with us. He wanted nothing more in those last months than to be surrounded by his loving devotees and to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam and the constant chanting of the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He said that was his medicine. Charanamrita was his diet. You cannot sustain a life without eating. One time when Giriraj was called in the middle of the night, Srila Prabhupada apologized for calling him at such an inconvenient hour. But he said, I could not sleep. Previously, there was no question of sex life or defense, but now I have conquered sleeping and eating. And in his humor and humility, he said, I guess I'm a liberated soul. So Srila Prabhupada gave us a lifetime of service and sacrifice. His heart was oceanic in his love for Krishna, and that means his love for all the parts and parcels of Krishna. You and I are fortunate enough to be receiving the mercy of that love, the instructions how to engage in devotional service. He took up a little seriously, he said, the purport to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's instruction on Vyavasika Budhir Ekaha Kuru Nandana, that one should fully surrender one's life to the instruction of the spiritual master, no matter what inconvenience or tribulation there may be in executing it. He showed us that in living. He showed us that in his last days, up to his last breath. He was always serving the Lord and serving the devotees. I was there in the room when one time some of his godbrothers, a good group of them, came to offer their respect and to see Srila Prabhupada. He wasn't able to properly greet them. That's his own words. He was set up and he said, please forgive me for not properly receiving you. And then very shortly after that, he said, I would like to ask forgiveness for all my offenses. And they were surprised, one, to see that his consciousness was so clear and so sharp. They made mention of a previous acharya, the Gaudiya Mutt, where they said he passed away in a coma. He was not clear in consciousness. But here you are, basically on death's bed, and you are still preaching so fully absorbed in the service of Radha and Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, in his humility, said, no. Sometimes when preaching boldly and forcefully, some strong or harsh words are said, and I hope that you will communicate to all my God brothers my sincere apologies. It broke my heart to hear my spiritual master speaking like that, but it is a tremendous instruction for all of us. Srila Prabhupada, although he may have been a forceful world preacher, don't think for one moment that he was not the epitome and the personification of Trinada Pisunichena, Toro Pisahishnana, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. And he showed it then and so many other times. Especially in the end, he stayed for us so more service could be rendered to him, intimate service. And it was, as it was mentioned previously, that this whole Leela simply brought out the love more and more out of the hearts of his disciples and his followers. Just a few days earlier, before passing away, he had asked to take Parikram around Govardhan Hill. And arrangements were made. Lokanath Swami got the bullock cart. We in the Gurukula, we were packing our sleeping bags, getting everything arranged, what we'll take, what we won't take. But the intimate disciples of His Divine Grace, the servants, they couldn't tolerate the idea of Srila Prabhupada being jostled on a bullock cart on the bumpy road around Govardhan Hill. Surely he would leave his body as a result. They couldn't stand the thought. It drove them crazy. And they expressed as such. And Srila Prabhupada surrendered to their loving desire to serve him. He changed his mind. It's just a very good example how everybody got the opportunity. The doors were open. He actually asked that all his disciples come and be with him. He took such pleasure in hearing the kirtan, in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in his devotees' association. So on the last day, Srila Prabhupada was with us. We were in the prasadam hall, taking prasadam. It was around 1:15, 1:30, something like that. Noon prasadam, and somebody came in and said, Kaviraj has said, Srila Prabhupada will leave his body in a little over 5 hours. Even up until that point, it was really inconceivable for many of us that he could do such. He had shown in mid-October that if he wanted to, one day his blood pressure was higher than anything, very unhealthy, very dangerous, and the next day it would be completely normal. He hadn't eaten for months, and yet when the desire of the devotees is so strong, praying to the Lord and praying to the spiritual master, please, please, make endeavor to stay with us. Then with a yawn one time, he said, all right, bring me some strawberries. I'd like to eat some strawberries. So in this way he showed he wasn't a victim of karma. He wasn't a puppet in the hands of the laws of material nature. He was a puppet in the hands of his spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he always said, whatever Krishna wishes, that I'll do. But when he had also intimated, Krishna has given me the choice to stay or live, then the devotees, of course, they thought, well, please stay, stay, don't leave us. And he said, okay. So even up until that last day, it was impossible to comprehend that he could possibly leave us. But when the Kaviraj said that, it was because the fluids in the lungs were rising higher and higher, and at a certain point, then the body would be uninhabitable. That's a mundane way in which the mechanism, the body worked, and he could call the time. It was a most auspicious yoga in which he did leave this world. But even more so, and more important than that, that I was engaged in Gurukula service, and we finished our food quick as ever and washed our plates, went upstairs, and I told the young boys, I said, Srila Prabhupada's leaving. I'm going to be with him in his room, and if you know what's best for you, you'll come. That was my priority, and I gave them the opportunity, come or don't come, but I'll be there for the next few hours. Most of them did come. So we were surrounding Srila Prabhupada, and for hours the kirtan went on. For a couple hours there was leading and following. And then after that it just became one continuous kirtan, everyone chanting together. Just that same tone, that same tune. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Over and over for hours. And being there, I wanted to share with you, because you sometimes hear a devotee say, I regret I wasn't there. I was there. By the time it got later on in the day, I had jockeyed myself right at the foot of his bed. The room was completely packed. It wasn't a big room. At most, what, 100, 150 devotees in that room, maybe? But I had positioned myself right there at his foot, and it was the second time in my life that I got to touch his transcendently soft lotus feet. What a wonderful blessing he gave me that day. But I was there at his feet, and the chanting was going on, and even though there were just a few devotees there, and especially when he did leave this planet, I could see that with his last breath, I didn't catch the Hari, but I heard the, or saw, Krishna. He was lying down and his lips moved and I could see him say Krishna. And he left this world. And when he left, it was no longer the small room in Srila Prabhupada's house, but you could feel as if the entire universe had opened up. It was not just 100, 150 devotees. You know his spiritual master and his spiritual master, the six Goswamis, the disciplic succession, all the principal demigods, anybody and everybody would come to witness this glorious event of Srila Prabhupada, the Senapati, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda's glorious servant who had spent his last years of this life simply preaching the message of Godhead to one and all throughout the world, he went back home to Godhead. And at that time, I experienced the kirtan as the most glorious kirtan I'd ever experienced in my entire life. Everyone's heart by this time was just overflooded with love for Srila Prabhupada, and tears were streaming down the eyes uncontrollably. And some years later, I got to hear a recording of that kirtan, and the recording sounded so much different than my personal experience. It actually sounded piteous. It was so many crying out in separation the holy names of the Lord, giving us some small taste what it must have been like when the gopis were trying to stop Krishna from leaving Vrindavan and going to Mathura. Being there, I can have some small glimpse what this was like. Their hearts completely broken. Don't go. Please don't go. You are our life and soul. But that kirtan was so glorious, and he showed us in this final passing way how to leave this world. And ever since then, I've been with three or four of my godbrothers who have passed away. And they followed the example of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, surrounded by devotees, hearing the holy names, remembering Krishna in their final breath. Srila Prabhupada came and threw a wide net over this world and is asking any and all of us to help him continue to throw the seeds of devotional service out so everyone can take advantage. And the perfection or the finish line is being crossed by many of his followers. It is so glorious to see that some 32 years later, it is just growing and growing and growing, this service that Srila Prabhupada performed for his spiritual master. He said, I took up the will of my spiritual master, and I am similarly asking you to take up my will. You've understood to some degree the essence of Krishna consciousness. Now please share it with everyone else. That was his mood, that was his instruction. He showed us that up to his last breath. The perfection of life is to glorify the Lord in the chanting of the holy names and to understand that we're the eternal servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Shri Radha and Krishna. So here we are in Mayapur some 32 years later. We understand 364 days of the year that He is always with us. We're absorbed in His instructions and trying our best to follow them, and we feel His presence ever closer than ever. But on this one day, we can remember and reflect that at that day, at that moment, the world became bereft of the physical association of Srila Prabhupada. It is as if the sun burnt out, the stars fell from the sky, the oceans dried up. How would this earth go on without the presence of such a very dear devotee of Sri Radha and Krishna? But gone on it has. We can imagine how happy, look at on the flip side, we're happy Srila Prabhupada no longer had the inconvenience of that material, useless body. But think how his Lord and all his eternal associates were happy to greet once again Srila Prabhupada. Such a glorious event. But anyway, he's here looking upon us. He gets to hear our feeble attempts to glorify him. And I take this opportunity to ask at your feet that you please forgive me of my offenses and that you continue to give me your kind, merciful association so that my feeble devotional love and attachment for Srila Prabhupada and his instructions will not waver, but instead grow and grow and grow until one day, and it won't be that long, we'll all once again be in the association of Srila Prabhupada, serving directly under his guidance. Srila Prabhupada ki! Srila Prabhupada anuga ki!
Thank you very much, Rajendranandan Prabhu. That was fantastic. Now we have about 15 minutes left before we go to Prabhupada's Samadhi for the Pushpanjali and the Bhog offering. I'd like to ask His Grace Bhavananda Prabhu to say a few words. After that, we'll have two more speakers. We have one very good friend of ours who has just arrived, as you saw. I'd like to welcome him and his associates from the Gopinath Gaudiya Math. So everybody, please give a very warm welcome to His Holiness Bodayan Maharaj. Hare Bol! Hare Bol! Hare Bol! We'll say a few words about him in a minute. I'll ask him to speak after Bhavananda Prabhu. And then we'll finish with His Holiness Radhanath Swami saying a few words.
Hari Bol. Those Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they have such an effulgence. When they entered the arena here, everyone turned. It was very dynamic. Thank you for gracing us with your presence, Maharaj. To go way, way back to Pancharatna, Gita Gan, there was a nice little story. I wanted to go on the boat, Nitai Parakamala. I was going to say Jaladuta. Interesting, though, the Jaladuta. I'm 70. And at my end, now I'm feeling wear and tear and tired and so many aches and pains. At my age, Prabhupada started out on the Jaladuta. Amazing. It's an amazing thing. If many of you are fortunate to reach 70, you'll be able to understand. Anyway, I wanted to go out on the Nitai Parakamala distributing Gita Gan in the villages along the Ganges. So I went to Prabhupada and asked him. And Prabhupada said to me, "What you can preach? You don't even speak Bengali." Because sometimes if you wanted to do something, Prabhupada made you have to convince him. So I was quiet for a moment. Then I said, "Prabhupada, I don't have to speak Bengali. Just by walking through the village with my big white body, that will be all the preaching I need." And Prabhupada said, "Yes, that is another thing. You may go." So, of course, there's now so much glorious activity of ISKCON. It is expanding, what is that word? Exponentially, it would seem. In the beginning, when we were here in Mayapur in 1972, we had a pandal. Prabhupada placed the Ananta Sesh over there with his godbrother, with the assistance of his godbrother, Puri Maharaj from Vishakhapatna, who graced us with his presence. And maybe 100 people came in the course of the Gaur Purnima. I'm sure many of the elder sannyasis and Gaudiya Vaishnav brahmacharis who are here remember in the old days, 72, 73, very few people came to Mayapur. Very few. You'd have some kirtan parties, parikrama parties going up the road during Gaur Purnima, but it was pretty much deserted. Now, of course, millions and millions. What did you tell me, Naresh? 4 million. Last year we had 4 million visitors here. And here, 4,000 Bombay Wallahs. This is an amazing thing, all by the mercy of Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas. So it's interesting to note that the appearance day, the appearance of great personalities, goes unnoticed. Even when Lord Krishna appeared, everyone was asleep. So we don't know when they appear, so we're not able to glorify them. And then the only other opportunity we have to glorify them is after they disappear. It's a very unfortunate thing, but in its own way, it's glorious because it gives us all an opportunity. Now, I was, as you all know, very close to Prabhupada. I suppose it puffed up if I include myself in Braj's intimate disciples, because I was part of the three devotees who convinced Prabhupada not to go on the... Well, we didn't convince him. We pleaded with him not to go on the bullock cart ride. And that was a very interesting little chapter in Prabhupada history. It was very rough there. We almost came to blows. One godbrother of mine and myself almost had a fist fight. There were some harsh words spoken. But anyway, that was another transcendental pastime where Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, Prabhupada, the way you are dealing with us, you are driving us insane with love. You are tying us up with love. I am going insane. I am so anxious about this bullock cart ride. And Prabhupada was like, oh? Yes, Prabhupada, we do not want you. Everyone is saying, the Kaviraj is saying you shouldn't go. We don't want you to go. But your dealings with us is driving us insane. And then Prabhupada said, Bhavanand, how do you feel? I said, Prabhupada, I'm too anxious. And Bhakti Charu Maharaj was there. Prabhupada said, oh. He said, you have suffered so much for Lord Chaitanya. I cannot let you suffer anymore. All right, I will not go. Then he turned to Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, who was there. And he said, see, Babaji Maharaj, see how much they love me. Now, of course, that's not saying we loved him. Those three of us loved him more than anyone else. But my point is that these stories, transcendental stories, we get the opportunity to hear them. It's like churning the ocean of nectar, except on both sides are devotees. There's not a demonic side and a deva side. But both sides of the churning the mountain are devotees. And we're churning deeper and deeper. I never knew Sachimata, my god sister, spoke so nicely. I never knew how she came to be a devotee. Even though I was there, I never knew. It was such a wonderful story. And Srimati Kalangini, is it? Kalangini. Kalangana Mataji. I never knew. See, I was always so self-centered. I thought everything revolves around me. Prabhupada is, as you said, looking at me. Prabhupada is always thinking about me. And I always forget that there are other devotees who are much greater than me. Much greater. Who are book distributors and cooks and cleaners. Who did all kinds of activities for Prabhupada. Much greater than me. So these assemblies are great opportunities for hearing about the glories of Prabhupada and the glories of Prabhupada's devotees. And we hope the glory of Prabhupada's disciples' disciples. It's a big joint family. If we really want to honor Prabhupada, which is what this day is all about, then we have to understand what Prabhupada came here for. He came here to this world to educate. He didn't come to be a guru. He didn't come to be an acharya. He didn't come to manifest some kind of pure devotional rapture. He came to educate. And as it says in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he came to bring about a revolution in the impious lives of a misdirected civilization. And he wrote to me once, I had written to him saying how nice it was that Bengali boys are joining here in Mayapur. Prabhupada said, yes, that's very nice. Be careful of racism. The education means I am not this body. I am not Bengali. I am not American. I am not Russian. I am not white. I am not yellow. I am not red. I am not brown. I am not black. I am not my body. Who am I? This is the next question. This was the first thing I realized with Prabhupada. He was preaching, you are not your body. What is the next question you ask? Who am I? Then he told us, you are Krishna's eternal servant. And everything comes from that. Everything comes from that. So if we want to honor Prabhupada, we should all of us together, for at least one day, or 1 hour, or 1 minute, or 1 moment, realize we are not our bodies. If we can just understand that, then everything else will be allowed to develop. Not that we jump willy-nilly to Radha Krishna. We don't know Radha Krishna. And probably in my lifetime, I never will, for countless lifetimes that I have to look forward to, which is the unfortunate thing. But anyway, I'm hoping. I don't know where Prabhupada went. I think it was Tamal said, Prabhupada said, you go back and give a report. Prabhupada was always asking, what is the report? What is the news? What is the report? He would ask from devotees. So Prabhupada said, when you go back to Godhead, you go to Krishna and you give your report on the preaching work. And then you go out again. And in these fields, in these rice fields behind the Lotus Building, we were walking along in a line. Prabhupada was first. Then I think it was at Chutananda. You know, between the paddy fields, they have the little rays. It was Prabhupada, Chutananda, then me, then Gargamuni, and like that, Jayapataka. We were all in a line. Prabhupada was walking along. And he said, Bhavanand. He said, do you know what your name means? And Gargamuni said, Prabhupada, it means one who is immersed in the ecstasy of bhava. So I thought that, you know, that's what I thought it meant. It was my name. That's what I thought it meant. Prabhupada said, no. He said, it's Bhavananda. Bhava. He said, one who takes endless pleasure in this material world. Then he put up his hand and he said, that is the devotee, because this material world offers endless opportunity to preach. So we're all assembled here in order to invigorate our devotional creepers and then go back out to preach. If we go back out to the dark well of material existence, what is the point? We must take from this assembly and from this most auspicious day the understanding that what Prabhupada came here for, what he wanted from us, all of us, the whole world, he wanted all of us to understand we are not our bodies, we are not Eastern, we are not Western. Krishna consciousness is not a Hindu religion. It is a transcendental activity for all and every, each and every individual living entity of this universe. That is what we must take from this day, and that will truly honor and glorify Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai! Srila Prabhupada ki jai!
Thank you very much, Bhavananda Prabhu. So now we'd like to ask His Holiness Bodhayan Maharaj. He is the Acharya of the Gopinath Gaudiya Math, the successor to His Holiness Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj. Maharaj is a very good friend to our ISKCON. And I'll just mention a little briefly that when I was here in 1976, Srila Prabhupada had Achyutananda and a couple of others go to some of the other mutts down the road with a proposal that somehow or another we find a common platform, we preach together. Prabhupada made an offer that we'll do the management and you just send your men out because our Western devotees don't know Bengali and you do. So let us preach together. We have some managerial expertise, we have some funds, so we'll help you with that, you help us with the preaching, and combinedly together we can go out and we can conquer all Bengal and all India and all the world. Somehow or another, the response was not so favorable, and nothing much happened then. But I'm very happy to say that just recently, in fact in the last couple of weeks, His Holiness Bodhayan Maharaj has in a very unprecedented way cooperated with our ISKCON activities. We're building this library in Calcutta. It's meant to be a research center. And he has very kindly given us the care of one of the most important libraries that you can even imagine on this planet right now about Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So he has done that out of his magnanimous nature, very broad-minded thinking, that he has said this is our common heritage. We should work together to help to preserve this and to spread this all over the world. So we're very, very thankful to him. He's come here today to say a few words. Thank you very, very much, Maharaj.
Gurave Gaurachandraya Radhikai Tadale Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tadbhaktaya Namo Namaha. Thank you very much for you and all. Give me opportunity to speak here. Actually, I would like to, I'm hearing all these glories, how we explain. I really image. Then I remember one song which is written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Sri Namo Chintamani Tohari Shamana Bishya Bilavali Koruna Dano, Koruna Nidano, yeah. You know the meaning? Meaning is very nice, what we explained just before. Bhavananda Prabhu, I don't know the name of this Sachi Mata, and also this Bhajandarandan Prabhu, whatever. That is the meaning. Sri Nam Chintamani, Nam, holy name, Hare Krishna Mahamantra, touchstone. And he is actually equal with Radha Krishna, non-different from Radha Krishna. And Bisse Bilavali Karuna Nidana, that Radha Krishna's Karuna mercy distributed elaborately by His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I traveled last 10 years around the world. Wherever I go, I saw ISKCON Center. But I feel reluctant to go there because I have seen a lot of kind of discrimination was there. And I don't like to disturb their preaching program. That is why I be away from them. So anyway, today I have some opportunity to be here, and I have some opportunity to talk, to share with you and all my realization. Today I feel separation. How you explain the glories of His divine grace, I feel separation. I feel just, you know, I feel just think that if I am there at that time with Him, I can be more fortunate. Today I feel fortunate. Just like I can tell you the one code, how Rupa Goswami Pad felt separation. Actually, Rupa Goswami Pad disappeared. Actually, disappearance. And Raghunath Das Goswami felt separation. Felt separation, you know how? Bhagro tundati kundang grinda jagarate shunnate mahagashtang sirupang birahename. Bhagro tundati kundang. Kunda means Radhakund. Radhakund is the extreme place for all Vaishnavas. Because the Radharani's love is melting over there. We are searching to be the servant of Srimati Radharani. Radharani and Krishna, they are non-difference. So that Radhakund, Das Goswami Pad, felt due to the separation of Sirup Goswami's, the background tiger, ferocious animal. Separation like that. Girinda means mountain. Giriraj, mountain, hill. Giriraj, hill. Ajagara at a serpent. That Giriraj is Haridasa Varja. He is serving Supreme Lord. And also we have also experience about Giriraj, the Gopal form. He accepted all the offerings of Madhana. And he a huge Andukut festival, mountain of rice festival. That Giriraj now becomes serpent. Ajagar, snake. And Shunnate Mahagashtang. Brajbhumi, Vrindavan, completely empty, where we know that eternally Radha Krishna's, they manifest pastimes. Eternally pastimes going on non-stop. But the separation, he said, sunna, empty, complete empty. Sirupang birahinami. This is explained by Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. So actually gradually actually see our situation at present. We are fortunate to be under their lotus feet. Another sense, we are really in separation to see their physical form. But their teachings, through their teachings, they are always with us, all our Guru Bhargavas. Always with us. So, as a devotees, what is our situation at present? We have to accept their teachings. Their teachings from our heart, from our actual, it's the bottom of our heart. We have to accept it. No any duplicity. If we do any duplicity, no mercy will come down to us. You have to know that. We may pretend, I am your devotees, I am practicing. But Lord Krishna knew our heart. He is always with every living being with Vasudev Prabhu. He is watching what you are thinking, what you are doing. So we have to be very crystal clear our character. In order to get the blessings, we have to respect all the devotees according to Narottam Thakur's instruction. If you really want to chant happily and remove all our offense, then we have to respect all living beings. You know this Narottam Thakur, how he explained? He explained such way that forget the first line. Anyway, that actually he explained that sakale samman korite sakati deho natho jata jato tabe to gaibo hari namo sukhe aparadha hobe hato. Means we have to pray to all Vaishnavas that please give me the potency, offer due honor to everyone. Then we are able to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra happily. That we have to keep in our mind. When we are able to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra happily, then we are able to remove all our offenses. Aparadha habe hato. Destroy all of our offenses. So this is most important part of our life, devotional life. So please keep in your mind, we have short time, a lot of topics are there. The Mahaprabhu also felt separation for Srimati Radha Krishna, Srimati Radha Rani, that Juga itanga nimeshana chakshusha prabhishayitam sunna itanga maha jagat sarvam govinda virah govindas. Separation. The separation like that. So nowadays, especially today, we have to remember all the pastimes, how His divine grace manifested, how He engaged all His disciples, grand disciples, great grand disciples, to serve Radha Krishna with purity, not duplicity. That we have to talk, that we think, and go ahead rest of our life, then we can have the taste of our spiritual practice, eternal bliss. That we are searching. We may have different activities, but our goal, everyone's goal, one point, that is blissful eternally, not temporarily. So in order to get the eternal bliss, we have to obey all the devotees of Supreme Lord and chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra with full of enthusiasm. And we should not discriminate amongst the Vaishnavas. Then we can have that eternal bliss. I hope all of you understand my points. I am praying to Lord. And I am also begging from you and all, please bestow all your mercy on me in order to get that eternal bliss. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, His Holiness Bodhi and Maharaj Ki Jai. Thank you, Maharaj. Now we'd like to request His Holiness Radhanath Swami to come forward. This will be our final offering this morning. From here, will be going to the Pushpa Samadhi with Srila Prabhupada's Murti. So those devotees that have the palanquin, please be ready. And also the Kirtan party, be ready to leave after Radhanath Maharaj has spoken. We'll go over. The Bhogarati offering is going on now. We'll go over there and do the Pushpanjali and then the Maha Kirtan. Thank you, Maharaj.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya desha tarine, Banshakalpatarubyascha kripa sindubya evacha, Patitanam pavonibyo, Vaishnavebyo namo namaha, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I am very grateful for this opportunity to speak a few words. We are celebrating the 500th anniversary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's acceptance of sannyas. He left his home in Navadvip, his beloved widowed mother, his loving, beautiful, chaste wife, all of his intimate associates, and Navadvip itself, which is none different than Vrindavan. He broke the hearts of those who were most dear to him to perform the supreme sacrifice of giving Krishna bhakti, Krishna prema, to the suffering people of this world. In that same spirit here in Sri Navadvip, Mayapur, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada, accepted sannyas and left his home in Mayapur to go to Calcutta and travel to so many materialistic places all over India to carry on the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And our own beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he followed that same spirit. He accepted sannyas and left his home in Vrindavan. At the Seva Kunj, in the temple of Jiva Goswami, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with a begging bowl, he left Vrindavan to plead and beg with the conditioned souls of this world to accept the treasure of pure bhakti. When he was on the Jaladuta, a cargo ship somewhere in the middle of the Arabian Sea, he suffered several heart attacks, seasickness, no medical help. When he gained the strength, he wrote in his diary, that I am feeling so great separation from Sri Vrindavan Dham and from my beloved lords, Sri Govinda, Gopinath, and Radha Damodar. But I am here in the order of my spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to fulfill his mission, which was the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to spread the Nam Sankirtan movement and love for Krishna throughout the world. Srila Prabhupada wrote, I have no qualification to do this. I am completely depending on their mercy. So very far away from Vrindavan. And we all know the struggles he endured. He signed his beautiful poem on the Jaladuta, his prayer to Krishna, your insignificant beggar. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. That sacrifice. A few years later in Los Angeles, it was the disappearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Prabhupada explained to all of us a summary of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's life. And his own relationship with his Guru Maharaj, Saraswati Prabhupada. And at the end of the lecture, he said, I am very old. And I could die at any time. But you are young. Take this mission of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada as your heart and as your soul. And after I depart, carry it on. Spread it throughout the world. Srila Prabhupada, the sacrifice of his life was the qualification for practically every single person in the Western world to receive Krishna consciousness. The unbelievable sacrifice of service and separation from his guru and Sri Vrindavan was the qualification for the vast majority of people, even in India today, to receive the treasure of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And
individually, personally, to all of us, what did he ask in return? With the begging bowl of his heart in hand, he begged us, he pleaded with us to cooperate together to spread this message of Lord Chaitanya, this mission of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada throughout the world. That's all he asked of us. Just follow these teachings and share them with others. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would weep when he would speak about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada in separation. And other times he would say, I feel his presence at all times in my life. Lord Chaitanya taught us here in Navadvipa and again in Sri Puri at Gambira the beauty of the principle of union in separation. The pains of separation from our beloved bring his presence so deeply alive within the very core of our hearts. To love is to serve. To serve is to please the object of our love. Srila Prabhupada made it so clear. You can show your love for me by how you cooperate. And for what purpose does he want our cooperation? So that individually we can actually taste the sweetness of the holy names. As Sripad Bodayan Maharaj was so beautifully explaining, Trinadapi Sunichena Taror Iba Sehishnuna Amani Namana Dena Kirtaniya Sada Hari. To be humble, forgiving and tolerant and respectful to all. That spirit of servitude is what cultivates our heart, so that the seed of the taste for the holy name could actually grow. And Srila Prabhupada wanted us to help the suffering people of this world by giving them the treasure of bhakti. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the story of Lord Shiva drinking the ocean of poison, it is said that there is no service that pleases the Supreme Lord more than the willingness to accept difficulty and even suffering as an act of compassion to others. All of our acharyas, they lived by this principle. It was Mahaprabhu's principle. When Sachi Devi, Vishnu Priya, and all the devotees were weeping incessantly with absolute broken hearts when he left Navadvip, swam across the Ganga, and ran to Katwa to take sannyas, he feels the pains of his devotees as his own pains. But he endured that for the higher principle of compassion. Prabhupada endured heart attacks and strokes and poverty and death threats and separation from Vrindavan to be in the filthiest, most sinful cities of the world. In that same parampara of compassion. And he is begging us to assist him, to cooperate together without duplicity, without egotism, to spread Krishna prema through the chanting of the holy names. On this day, the disappearance day of Srila Prabhupada, it is a day that, more than any other day of the year, we deeply focus on what Srila Prabhupada's disappearance from this world means individually and collectively, in my life and in our lives. It is a day when we can pray from our heart of hearts for the opportunity to reciprocate with grateful hearts with the love we've been given. Thank you very much.
Srila Prabhupada Keed. Thank you very much, Radhanath Maharaj. Now, just as a reminder, before we go over to the Samadhi, this afternoon's program at the Samadhi, we'll be having Pushpanjali when we arrive, then Kirtan. At 2 o'clock, there'll be a feast at the Gada building, kitchen.